So the divine dance. I mentioned this Alleluia praise, and the scripture that we have today, again, so many times when people think about religion, when they think about the Old Testament, they think about, you know, a heaviness, but there's stuff in there that's about this energy and this vibrancy of life that's meant to take hold of us. So this says, let them praise his name, which again, the Yahweh name, which they just did, Alleluia, in dance. And we don't usually think of worship with dance, although many cultures do that, and there are some parts of the Christian tradition that use it as well. Let them sing praises to him with the tambourine and the harp. We had the tambourine today. Maria was on the tambourine and the woodblock. Didn't have the harp, but it's that sense of letting ourselves move with that aliveness of spirit, with that sense of saying, yay for God, and God's in me, and God's this blessing that's working in our lives in so many ways. Anne Merle Lindbergh wrote a bunch of things about relationships, and here's one of the things she wrote. She says, a good relationship has a pattern like a dance and is built on some of the same rules. The partners do not need to hold on tightly because they move confidently in the same pattern. Intricate, but gay and swift and free, like a country dance of Mozart's. To touch heavily would be to arrest the pattern and freeze the movement to check the endlessly changing beauty of the unfolding. There is no place here for the possessive clutch, the clinging arm, the heavy hand, only the barest touch in passing. Now arm in arm, now face to face, now back to back, it does not matter which, because they know they are partners moving in the same rhythm, creating a pattern together and being invisibly nourished by it. The joy of such a pattern is not only the joy of creation or the joy of participation, but also the joy of living in the moment. Lightness of touch and living in the moment are intertwined. So she uses that image of a dance to talk about relationship, and we can think of that relationship in terms of, you know, human-to-human relationship, but also in terms of our relationship with the divine. And again, sometimes when we think about God, we get heavy, but again, you know, think about the beauty that God creates, you know, the wonderful things that are there, and it opens up our hearts, it opens up our minds to see something greater in the universe. Think about, you know, the stars. You know, the different galaxies and this is what they call the birthing place of stars, this stellar gas, this dust of space that's there, and out of it come new stars. And with the stars come all kinds of things that are there. And we can go down to the subatomic level, and some physicists say that if we look at the way that electrons behave, it's like they're dancing. They dance from one molecule to another, and they're not stuck with, oh, I've got to be with this one. They're just open to that movement and a part of that. So if we can hear the physicists say that, you know, that life is a dance, then we can participate in that dance as well. So that's my lesson today, your divine dance. And to think of it this way, that we have an opportunity wherever we are. You know, if you're standing in line someplace, you know, you can just sit and just imagine that while you're waiting, you've got this little dance going. I like to do the infinity dance. You know, think of the infinity sign, the figure eight, and you just sort of, you know, step into the middle, and then you step over to the side, and then you step back, and then you step into the middle. And you're just dancing infinity. You know, people just think you're fidgeting, but no, you've got something that you've got a purpose in your mind. You know, one of my favorite things is to hold a baby and to move and to sing and talk to them. And just, you know, it's just, because, you know, babies like to move. You know, we tell kids when they get older, sit down and be quiet. And that's not what these bodies are made for. They're not made to sit down and be quiet. They're made to move. They get strengthened as we move. That's sometimes our problem, is that we sit around too much rather than letting these bodies move. And so if we can think of it as a dance, it changes the way that we experience it. Even if you're sitting at the desk and you've got to do some work, you know, just, you know, wiggle one foot, waggle the other one. You know, and move a little bit and feel this aliveness of spirit that we have in here. Here's what I wrote. Let the flow of spirit keep you fluid and light on your feet so you can share the light in your soul. So we want to have that movement in life. So here's our affirmation today. I let spirit move my whole being with joy. Let's say that together. I let spirit move my whole being with joy. Let's say it again. I let spirit move my whole being with joy. And so if you can't sit still today, that's okay. I can allow for that. It's interesting how there really is this part of us that wants to fully participate in life, and we recognize sometimes when we're not. There's a story, supposedly a true story, about in Turin, Italy, some anonymous citizen sent in a check to the tax office and said, you know, I'm feeling guilty that I didn't pay all my taxes, and I've lost my appetite because of it, so here's a check. And if I don't get all of my appetite back, I'll send the rest of the money. And so there's this part of us that, you know, that knows that we have to participate if we want to be a part of life. And so recognizing that if you are going to learn how to dance, you have to learn the steps, and then just step out and do it. And you're not going to get it perfect. You're not going to get it right to begin with. But the way that you learn is by doing it again and again until it becomes something more. So as I was thinking about if we're going to have this divine dance with God, what are the instructions? What are the dance instructions? And what occurred to me that Jesus has given us some instructions that are recorded in the Gospels, and they're really pretty straightforward and clear. And if we recognize what they are, then it's what we sometimes call practical Christianity, which means we have to practice it. And so here's some of the dance steps that Jesus talked about. The first one is love. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. In other words, don't leave anything out. And love your neighbor as yourself. When he was asked, what's the most important commandment? And I'm sure the person asking him was thinking about the Ten Commandments. And Jesus brought something out from a different part of the old scripture and said, no, love the Lord your God with all that you are, with your whole being. And another way to put that is to love God as if God is your whole being. To enter into that sense of connection with God in that way. And again, once we begin to practice this, it's like with a dance, once we get the form in our mind, once we get the patterns in our mind, as we practice them, it becomes muscle memory, so that we just do it. You know, I love to watch, you know, Russian Jackie dance, because you guys have been dancing for a while, and they just do it, you know, and you can just see them move, and you know that they trust each other, they've been working together for a while, so this, you know, it's a joy to watch that. And so it's the same thing with us practicing this part of the divine dance of love, is that the more that we do that, the easier and more natural it gets, because it's something that we remember, and it's something that we do. So we think of that love of God and that love for each other in that process. One of the things that I do when I'm in the morning, when I'm waiting for my toast in the toaster, I'm in the kitchen, and I'll stand at the counter, and I'll do leg lifts, and I'll move around, and I'll sing to the dogs, you know. And it's just to me, it's just a time of, you know, rather than, you know, waiting for the toaster, you know, it's a time that I can move and dance and sing. And so, any time that we have is that. And again, we have to trust that Spirit puts us in places for us to practice that. A couple years ago, when we took a group on the South American cruise, we were one night we were dancing in one of the little clubs that they had, and as we were finishing up the dance, the cruise staff came up and were tapping people on the shoulder, gentlemen on the shoulder, and I was one of the four that they picked, and they said, we're going to see who of you is the disco king, and I'm going, and so they had a crew member come out and do some move, and then the four of us had to, you know, reproduce that. And then another one came out and did another one, so we had to do his move plus the other one. And they had about seven of them that came out. And the last one was this, you know, thing on the floor going around. And so it's like, you know, I don't know how to do that, so I'm just going to, you know, fling myself on the floor. Hopefully I don't hurt myself. And of course, everybody from our group that was there thought that I won, but they gave all four of the guys, you know, a prize. So, but again, it was just a moment of joy, just a moment of abandon. As you know, so I'm not worried about, you know, competing. I'm just, you know, here to have some fun. And so, that sense of love, we can have that sense of love for whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's something as mundane as, you know, the chores around the house, or something that seems important, like something that we're doing at work or some volunteer thing we're doing. If we can bring that love of God to it, then we can experience it as if it's a dance. So the other part of the dance instruction that Jesus gives us is forgive. If you read the Gospels, these two themes, love and forgiveness, are what you'll hear Jesus talking about over and over and over again. All four Gospels are filled with this. And so when you think in terms of dancing, you know, if you're dancing and your partner steps on your toe, you know, you could get mad, or you could say, well, I guess I put my foot where it shouldn't have been, because that's usually in my case what happens if my toe gets stepped on, is because my foot wasn't where it was supposed to be. And so we recognize, as we said our Lord's Prayer earlier, that we want to untie ourselves from those limiting experiences, those restricting things that we have in our mind and the way that we see ourselves and others, so that we can be free, so we can experience life in a greater way. And again, many of us have that sense that we need to be right and be right all the time. And in my experience, you know, as human beings, none of us are that. And so if we could give that one up and give up expecting others to be right and to be right all the time, we could live with a whole lot more joy in our lives. And even when there are mistakes, I don't know if you saw a couple days ago, there was, I think it was in South America someplace, there was a band in a nightclub and their pyrotechnics, you know, set the whole place on fire, and then there were people that were killed. And so it's like, well, how do you forgive that? Well, obviously that wasn't very smart, probably wasn't legal. Probably the nightclub had some things that where its exits weren't right. And so forgiveness is not about letting them off the hook, because there may be some justice and some legal justice that needs to be pursued in that. But forgiveness is not about, well, you sure we're stupid. It's about how do we instruct people and how do we not let it happen again? What do we do to make it different? That's what forgiveness is about, not holding somebody and, you know, putting their nose in it, but saying, let's do it different next time. Let's change who we are and what we're about. And so if we falter in our dance of life, which we will, just as in a dance, like I'm dancing with Meredith, and, you know, we're dancing something, and then I forget, you know, what my next move is, and I'm supposed to turn her this way instead of that way, I just laugh, because, you know, is it that important? You know, and again, if we know that we're spiritual beings and that we have this eternal part of us, you know, one mistake in life that we make or somebody else makes really isn't that important. Live with that sense of forgiveness so that love can expand in its expression in and through us, and again, then we'll be lighter on our feet and we'll have a lot more joy in that. Now, the other part of the instruction that I notice as I read the Gospels is that Jesus tells us to ask. He says, the Father already knows what you need, but he says, we have to ask. And it seems interesting, but again, if you've ever studied communication styles, one of the challenges that happens many times in relationships is that people assume that other people know what they're thinking. Have you ever had that experience where somebody assumed that they knew what you were thinking, or that you knew what you were supposed to know what they were thinking? Well, if he really loved me, he'd know what I want. You know, well, how's he going to know unless you let those words come out of your mouth or write them down in some way that can be communicated and understood? And so Jesus says that we have to ask. And again, so part of it is being careful what we ask for. There's a funny little verse in the Gospel of Luke. This is chapter 7, verse 32. Jesus talks about the way that people usually live their lives. And he says, they are like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another, saying, I played music for you and you didn't dance. I mourned and you didn't weep. So it's like little kids playing a game. You know, we played this game of, you know, we're playing the music and you didn't dance with us. And we're playing this sad game about going to a funeral and you didn't go along with us. And so we recognize that many people have this game that they want to play, this dance that they want to do, and you may not want to do that dance. And that's okay. You can say, no, excuse me, I'm going to sit this one out. Or I've got this other dance. You know, the one verse talks about having a different drummer. You need to know what drummer you want to dance to, because you may not want to dance to their drummer. And so you simply excuse yourself and say, no, thank you. I've got something else that I'm working on, something else that I'm doing, something else that I'm working on. And again, if we think that we want to do this other dance that's ours and we're still not familiar with the steps, then ask for instruction. You know, one of my favorite things, you know, about going on a cruise is that, you know, the wonderful dancers that they do the shows will actually teach you, you know, how to do some of these dances. And so the one that I love is the merengue, because the steps are, how much left, right, left, right. That's how they're, and then you can move around a little bit, but that's all it is. And they said, you know, sort of put the weight in on the inside of you, and that's it. And so then there's other moves that you do like that, but that's the basic step. You know, I can do that step. That's real easy. And so, you know, when we recognize if we want to learn another step, then we'd have to ask somebody how to do that. You know, if you don't know how to do something, find someone that can coach you. You know, learn how to do something if that's what you want. And again, the idea of practical Christianity is that we practice. If we're working on healing, if we're working on prosperity, if we're working on our relationship, and you're not sure what to do, come in and ask. I had a woman this week from our congregation. She's been in pain for months and months. She finally called up and says, I think I better come in. So we did some prayer work, and her pain was gone by the time we were done with the session. She goes, I should have come in earlier. You should have come in earlier, but here you are. Let's celebrate that we can do this work now, that God can be present and do things that are amazing for us as we ask, as we ask. And that's what God calls us to do. And so, again, the phrase that came here is that, you know, to move your hips as you move your lips. You know, as you're saying, all right, God, I want this, be willing to see what God is asking us to do to fulfill what it is that we're asking for. Because if we just stand there and say, all right, God, come on, come on, come on, come on, that's not going to work. God is going to invite us into some process as well. If we want things to change, then we've got to change. Because God is that light that's beaming forever as that wonderful fullness that it is. That doesn't need to change. Our receptivity to it, our availability to it, our letting it work through us, that's what we need to change. And so that's what the asking is really about. God, show me. Show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to do so that I can be that. And to show how it works, when we had our banquet, our anniversary banquet a couple Saturdays ago, near the end of the banquet, you know, Sam, who usually comes to second service, was there. And the cases, Pat and Rob had brought him to the banquet, and we're going to drive him home. And Sam came to me, says, you know, I brought my handicap sticker for them to use, but I forgot my clicker to open the gate to my complex. It's sitting in my car at home. I don't know if we'll be able to get in. And I said, Sam, divine order. I said, God is at work already, and it's going to work out. And so I talked to Sam and to the cases afterwards the next day, and they said it worked out perfect. Because they, you know, they told them, you know, Sam told them, I don't have it. And so they went home a different way, you know. And when they turned off, Rob first turned into the wrong place. And then when he turned around and backed out and he got to where he was supposed to be, he was going to make a left turn into the entrance across the street. And just as he was waiting for traffic, the car that came from the other side turned in, opened the gate, and they went in right behind them. So I said, you know, divine order. You asked for that. You know, last Sunday you were asking about appraisers for a guitar? Donna was asking about, I heard her ask Jerry, you know, do you know somebody who could appraise a guitar? And he didn't, so she came over to me and asked me. And I said, I don't know anybody. Well, guess what? Monday, I'm talking to a friend of mine who's in town. I haven't seen him in years. And we were talking about, you know, getting together or something like that. And I said, well, why not just come over tonight? You know, it's like, because I don't know, with your schedule, my schedule, whatever. So he came over and we were talking about, you know, music we used to play and all kinds of different things, friends that we knew. And at one point in the middle of the conversation, he said, you know, there's this guitar repair man up in Kearney Mesa who does appraisals of guitars, too. That wasn't a part of our conversation, but it just... Here the words came out of my mouth. I said, okay, stop right there. Get a piece of paper. I'm going to write it down. What's his name and where is he? And so I was able to give Donna a call and say, here's the information. So because she asked. Now, the persons that she first asked had no idea how to offer that. But by her asking, she wasn't just asking us. She was asking the universe. And because she asked the universe, here was an answer that came. Through a completely unexpected way. I had no plans at that point to meet with my friend, but there it was. So when we ask, then things can happen in our life. The fourth part of this, well, that's the practical Christianity part, is to focus your faith. Over and over and over again, when there's a healing experience in the Gospels, Jesus says to the person, your faith has made you well. He didn't say, look what a hotshot son of God I am. He says, your faith has made you well. And the key is that we have faith and we're using our faith all the time, but many times we're focusing our faith on what we don't want. That's called worry. It's faith. We're believing in what we don't want and sometimes giving a lot of energy to what we don't want rather than focusing our faith on this loving presence, this opportunity to forgive, and this way of asking that opens us up to something greater. If we begin to see that God is our partner and focus on that, then we can find ways for Spirit to work in our lives. One of the challenges for me in some of the dances is being a musician, and most music, most of our Western music is a four-beat music, you know, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And some of the dance steps are six beats. And so it's like you're starting one of the steps in the middle of it on the wrong beat in my mind. And so it's like it takes me a while to get that sick because I want to start over again when it comes down to one. I said, no, this step is going to start on three, four, one, two, three, four. And then you get to start on one. And so it takes a while for me to get that because it's different than, you know, when I'm thinking of how I usually think about music. And so if I'm focusing on being uncomfortable with that, then I'm uncomfortable with that. And if I focus on just letting it go and letting it be what it is and knowing that I'm going to get it right sometimes and not get it right times, I have a lot more fun. And I do better at it as well. So where we focus our faith makes all the difference. A couple weeks ago, we came in. Remember, it was real cold. Ellen came in to the fifth floor of the tower on a Monday morning, and the heater didn't work. So she called out, you know, repairman to get a bid. It was going to be $4,000 to fix the heater. And when she called me about that, I heard the voice say, call San Diego Gas and Electric. So I said, call San Diego Gas and Electric. So she did, and it was going to be a week and a half before they could come out. So we wore sweaters. But when San Diego Gas and Electric came out, the guy looked at it, he says, oh, the burners aren't aligned right. And he aligned the burners, started on it, works perfect. So again, that little voice said, don't get caught up in $4,000, you know, while we're trying to do all this. Just listen to what the voice says, call San Diego Gas and Electric. And so it's recognizing that when our faith is focused on, oh my God, here's more money we gotta spend, then guess what? There's gonna be more money that you gotta spend. But if your faith is focused on, God has an answer here that I don't see yet, but I'm gonna ask, I'm gonna open myself because I know that God is love, and I know that sometimes I make mistakes, but God loves me anyways, I can forgive myself. What is it that God has for us? And see, this is what makes it practical Christianity, because it's not just some idea that, you know, that Jesus died for us and, you know, for our sins and we're going to go to heaven. It's experiencing that presence and power of God right where we are in the midst of our lives. That's what we want. That's the experience that we want to have. And so dance with it. Take it a little bit lighter, yourself and life and the people around you. Yeah, we may need to practice forgiveness a bunch, but as we do, we'll be lighter. We'll have more light in our minds and in our hearts as we do it. And so we recognize that the divine dance is not about us leading, but allowing Spirit to lead us in this process and to be so in love with God and so in love with that presence of God in others that we learn these steps and we practice these steps so that we can step out with this divine dance. Let us pray. Thank you, God. We are ready to rumba with your living presence and let it move in us and free us from the limiting patterns that we may enjoy, which means let joy in so that it can be let out through the way that we live. We let your Spirit move our whole being with joy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.